Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
You're listening to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles. It's 7:15 and welcome to this week's show. We have some great in-studio guests. We've got lots to chat to you about tonight. But first up, nice big reminder, we have managed to extend the wonderful offer from Success Resources. So that is two tickets for the price of one. You can go to nacsouthafrica.com/MixFM, purchase your first ticket, and then you send Success Resources confirmation of payment, and they'll issue you a second ticket.
Absolutely, what an event that's going to be. And the really good news is that we have an interview lined up with none other than Chris Gardner. Now, for those of you who have read his book or seen the movie In Pursuit of Happiness, you'll know what an extraordinary man this is. And we've got a Skype interview lined up, and all things being equal, we should actually have it for you for next week. So what an interesting show that'll be. And then tonight in studio, we've got with us Rich Simmons. Now, he needs no introduction. He's been in studio with us before, where he launched his book, The Five-Night Plan. And tonight he's back to speak about a second book. And goodness me, isn't this man busy? I mean, certainly when Harv Eker talks about action being the bridge between the inner world and the outer world, Rich Simmons certainly is someone who takes action. And he's written a book called Mug and Tweet, and shortly we're going to be discussing this book with him.
Well, you know, I just think it's incredible. I love the way you say, you know, second book. And we had quite an interesting discussion about that earlier. Now, if you'd like to send us a tweet and ask any questions tonight, you can tweet us on @mix938fm, or you can SMS us on 41348. SMSs are charged at R1.50. Now, I just thought last time we didn't talk about Rich's profile. And I love what he has got on his Twitter profile. First of all, father, so doesn't that just speak volumes around the importance of his kids? Speaker, influential rule breaker and change maker, author, social communication catalyst, and photographer. And isn't social communication just the way of the world right now?
Well, it really is. And rule breaker, change maker, Rich, welcome to studio. It makes you sound like you're the naughty boy of the class.
I am.
Well, welcome back to Mix FM.
Thanks very much, Chris and Suzanne.
Wonderful. Now, Rich, it wasn't so long ago that we were actually chatting to you around Valentine's Day, a couple of days before Valentine's Day, about Five-Night Plan. But this, your new book, Mug and Tweet, this is really the essence of Rich the professional. This is what you do in the real world. This is not just about your relationships and ways in which to make relationships last. What made you decide to write a Mug and Tweet?
The main reason for Mug and Tweet was that to give people understanding about how communication actually works. Because it's so easy to communicate, but where does communication break down? And what is the human behavior that we can expect behind communication? Because there is a code that happens when we communicate. And if you look at why communication breaks down, it's probably on most occasions because we don't want to be vulnerable.
Oh.
So we build those walls. It comes back to relationships. But if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we communicate. When we see ourselves as vulnerable, we stop communicating.
Okay, that's an interesting take. It's certainly different. Vulnerability, and goodness gracious me, isn't that actually such a profound statement? Because it's really when you open up that you truly begin to communicate from the heart. Huh?
True.
When you lose the mask, so to say, and you begin to really show who you are. And I guess with that goes vulnerability. So it makes sense what you're saying, Richard, yeah. Now, when we look at this book, Mug and Tweet, the very first question I have to ask you is the title, Mug and Tweet. I mean, yeah, where did this come from?
Well, quite simply, obviously I'm on Twitter, but there's a mug on the cover there. And most people, if you haven't seen the book yet, we have a Twitter handle for it. It's at Mug and Tweet. So go and have a look and you'll see why there's a mug on the cover. That's a photo of me. And the reason why the photo is there is you can blame Lewis Pugh, because after the five-night plan, he phoned me and he said, Rich, who wrote this book? And I said, I did. And he said, then why isn't your photo on the cover? And I go, okay, it's a good point, Lewis. We'll do what you say. And obviously, he's a bit more successful as an author than I am, so I took his advice.
Oh, very good. So it goes back to branding, eh? So you certainly are prominently branded on this book.
Correct.
Well, let's drop the mug, because I think you're far more than a mug.
Oh, thank you.
I think we should. I think we should have Mug and Tweet being read at Mug and Bean, huh?
We won't go into that, but I'm sure, you know, for me, I think just chatting to you previously, a lot of social media is done at coffee bars, at restaurants, especially in today's era where entrepreneurs are on the run. It's not, you know, it's gone are the days where somebody's based in an office singularly having meetings at your premises. I mean, for what you do as a, now I'm going to be able to call you an influencer, but as a social influencer and change maker, you're not sitting in an office all day.
No, definitely not. So, yes, the other reason for Mug and Tweet is that, you know, to be social, if you invite someone around to your home, if you have a meeting with them, there's always something to drink. And that was where the Mug and Tweet comes in.
So it wasn't glass of wine and tweet?
No, it's Mug and Tweet.
I like it.
For the teetotalers and all.
Yeah. I like it. And in actual fact, your last chapter 13, page 155, as I'm thumbing through the book, says, thank you, let's meet for coffee.
Absolutely.
Nice, very social. Mm. Now, Richard, let's start to dig into this. Okay, let's get into the substance of this, because this is not it's not just a book which is flippantly written. It is there to be able to create change. It is asking thought-provoking questions of the reader. It is designed to stimulate thinking. And I guess the question I'd like to pose to you now goes around social media. You are watching social media all the time. You are very influential within social media. You're also a very respected commentator on social media. Now, we always have a large young audience listening to this radio show. As you have been observing social media, what goes through your mind when you see people doing things on social media that are just plain dumb? In other words, real brand fails.
Okay.
And what advice would you have for young people who are using social media but who don't necessarily understand it? Because that's the other thing. I think a lot of people out there are using these tools but ignorantly.
Yes. So I think that we won't go into the technical side of things, because I believe that everyone, that you've got friends that can help you with the technical side of things. So we haven't gone into technical at all in this book.
Okay.
This is purely about communication. And if you, to answer that question in a sentence, we have to say that you are a social person that's professional at all times.
Mm.
You're not a professional person that's occasionally social.
Mm.
And that often, you know, I get the question, should I have two different profiles, one for my business and one for me?
Mm.
And it's no. Mm. Because you are the person that people connect with. You're the person that people buy from.
Oh.
So you need to understand that you are representing yourself. You are building your brand at all times. So you are the social person that's professional at all times.
Very interesting. In fact, as you made that statement, there was a word that was popping into my mind, and that word was authenticity. I can see you nodding. So as that word popped into my mind around the profile being wholly authentic.
Correct.
Let's get rid of all the layers, if you will. Where does your mind then, as an expert in the space, go when the word authenticity is presented?
It goes directly to intention.
Okay.
So you have to have the right intention. If you don't have the right intention, incidentally, people will judge you in reverse, and they will then see what your intention was. So if we look at it in a business sense, and many companies want to make money, Now, that but, you know, part of my brand is gratitude as well. And if you look at that in reverse, are you thankful for the money you made, or are you thankful for the skills that allowed you to make that money? Because it's far more, you know, deeper to thank for the skills that allow you to make that money as opposed to just making money. So as a business, you need to say, sure, we all know we need to make money, but what is the reason why we make money? Are we going to make a difference in our community, or is it all about us? And if it was all about you and that was your intention, well, are people going to continue to buy from you? Or are they going to connect with someone that's more community-based and social? Because it's going to give them a better feeling. Now, remember, it's going to give them a better feeling. They're not going to know, or you're not going to know why they're buying from you or not buying from you, but they will pick up your intention. So they will find your authentic message, because if your only objective is to make money, that'll come through in your communication, whether you want to hide it or not, because it's the real authentic message that's coming through. Your influence that you seem to have is all about money. And just on influence, you can't buy influence. And that's why in the book, I've included a chapter there on digital leadership.
Yes. In fact, we're going to come to that. I've got that penciled in for the interview tonight as one of the key things I want to dig into. But I think before I dig into that, there is one question which I've been burning to ask you, and it actually is on page 125 of your book. And it's a bullet point. And it says, never refer to social media as a waste of time. In fact, it is a time saver. The sooner everyone gets involved in active social media engagement, the better. Now, very interesting point. I'm sure there are loads of people out there, business people, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, if you will, who would vehemently disagree with you on this point. They'd say, well, hold on a moment. Social media is taking up a lot of my time. I'm not seeing any returns. It's not making me any money. Where is the return on my investment as an entrepreneur? Yet you're actually saying it's a time saver. Now, I'm really interested in that. How did you come to this deduction or conclusion that social media is a time saver, and why do you say it is?
Okay. So if I go back to one of my original statements, that's in the book, and it was also there in Five Night Plan, was that don't look for ideas that will confirm your thinking. Look for the trends that will disrupt your thoughts. How are you going to find those trends if you're not with the total social platform where you're getting everything that you can then decide what is relevant for you? Yes, it's a lot of information. But where else are you going to get that information quickly so that you can be nimble and turn quickly and make sure your business is on the right track? Because the big ships tend to turn very slowly. So the smaller business has a much better chance of actually being nimble and changing and adapting very quickly. And that's almost like how you could take on the bigger guys.
Interesting.
Because you're nimble.
Interesting. I do like that saying, because one of the things I always said when I was in the ad industry was that not having the corporate mentality, although we had a corporate size turnover, but the fact was is that we likened it to being a speedboat versus an oil tanker. If you want to change direction, if you need to get a message out, the old way of doing it used to be the traditional press release, calling people in to do an actual press briefing, whereas if you're looking at social communication, that message can be out there in a few minutes. But is this where certain companies fail by not responding when issues can be quite sensitive, and the longer that they take to respond and communicate, the louder the voice becomes?
Yes, certainly. So the speed at which you respond has a direct correlation to how much you care for that customer. Now, in the bigger company, as you mentioned, if you look at this open communication, where should that be? You know, if you consider a conventional call center, there's information coming in all the time at that call center. For the call center to actually generate reports is very cumbersome. So in other words, we know that the sales staff will never get effective reporting out of the call center. However, if that call center was using social media, anyone could go in there and see exactly what's happening.
Yes, because they'd actually be responding to the situation with some immediacy.
Yes, so even a salesperson who is not necessarily given a code to communicate there, he can at least see what's happening and how it's happening. So when he's at his clients, he can then say, well, this is what's trending, this is what's happening, this is what people's complaints are, and he can address those and be proactive when he gets to his clients.
I can see that that opens a whole new can of worms, though, in terms of the corporate mindset. But personally, I think it's something that's quite spectacular, because when you look at how often concerns get allegedly elevated to a management level, and you can phone back with a reference number and good luck with that. So I think that opens a whole new can of worms. But in terms and I loved what you said about making your brand, you are the brand, because it's something that we do teach, that there actually isn't a separation of person and brand when you are a young entrepreneur or you have a small business. You're out there, you're the brand. You know, you can't have, I know over the weekend, Daughtry was in a lot of trouble on social media because people felt that he had snubbed veterans, he'd snubbed D-Day because they sprang something on him during an interview. And he just went, I'm off the clock, I'm out of here. And it was a vicious rebuke. But he actioned it straight away. He went social. And he went social by saying, both on Facebook and Twitter, there aren't enough characters on Twitter, and I can't say what I mean, so I've posted a video. You can actually hear me say it. You can hear the tonality. You know my intention. Also, very clever to do something like that.
Yes, if you can, but you need to still respond very quickly.
Yeah, no, he did. Awesome.
Actually, Richard, on that point, you need to respond very quickly. That brings immediacy into play.
Correct.
Now, as someone who teaches a great deal around social media, communication, we'll get into that later, what does immediacy mean to you? And when you are teaching an audience around social media and immediacy, what is it that you wish to make them aware of?
Well, firstly, the most important thing about immediacy is not what you want or what's convenient for you. What does the customer want? What does the customer expect? So it might be convenient for you to respond tomorrow morning, but he expects you to respond tonight.
Ah.
That's really the message. And most people run their business for whatever's convenient for them. It's a bit like the banks. You know, some banks now open until 5 in the evening. Other banks close at 3. It's not convenient to go to the bank during working hours. You need to go after working hours. That's some bank thinking about what the customer wants, not what's convenient for us. Yes, it's going to cost us more money, those sort of things. But you're thinking about your client. You're not thinking about yourself.
Oh, very interesting. Gosh, so the client matters.
Yes. and in the book...
We're just having a moment here in studio.
In the book, what I've done is put the differences between brand-centric companies and customer-centric models, because we all need to move towards a customer-centric model. And I've highlighted the facts and the differences, and that's where I'm spending a lot of my time at the moment, helping companies move from that typical brand-centric customer base, you know, to this customer-centric company, where you actually listen to your customers. What do your customers want? And most of the time, we know what they want. We don't have to even listen, although it's better to listen.
But most
of the time, we actually do know what they want. We've heard it before. We have listened, except now we've got to implement.
When you sat down to write this book, because something always begins with a purpose, what was the purpose around writing this book? And Why would someone or should someone buy this book?
Well, this book's very intentional. I wrote it to be, there was nothing, I was challenged by Walter Pike. And Walter said to me, what are you writing? And I said to him, I'm writing a little bit of old, a little bit of new. He says, we don't want the old, just give us the new. And that was a moment of change in my life. That was a disruption. And I went to the copy that I'd written, and I threw out everything that was old. And now I've just put new. And there's nothing new under the sun, you know, we need to understand that.
Sure.
But I believe that the angle and the way that it looks and the questions that this book asks of you as a person are somewhat different to what we've read before.
Right. Okay. So you basically, when you buy this book and you read it, not only are you going to become massively aware or more aware of social media and all the various nuances of it and the way it plays out there in the world, but it's also going to challenge your thinking right down to personal level. Is that right?
Yes, correct. So remember, this book is about social communication.
Ah.
Social media is just what we use at the moment.
Ah, so it's the tool.
But this goes back to, why was the telegram there? Why was the love letter there?
Right.
All those, why was runners and pigeons there?
Yes.
So it goes to the reason behind our communication, not the tools we use.
Got
I'll touch
you.
On the tools slightly.
Got you. In fact,
because
I've
seen that.
Because
of the context that we're in.
Yeah, the bullet points around LinkedIn and YouTube and all of those tools, if you will. Platforms, yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Now, let's dig into the meat of it. Digital leadership. I saw those as two key words that emerged in the book time and time and time again. Why digital leadership?
Digital leadership would be, the reason why it's there is because we have this need to be influential. If you want to be successful, success isn't about the money. Success is about the influence that you have, because influence is the new currency. So how are you going to make yourself influential in this new digital age? Because you can't buy it. You have to do it, and it's about serving the needs of people. So if you wanted to be a digital leader in your industry, what are you doing differently for your customers? What are you doing differently for your staff? What are you doing differently for the way you produce anything in your business? And that, in essence, is what digital leadership is about. How are you going to address things to have real influence and to really be able to say that what you're doing is authentic? Because if you believe that you are being influential, but you're not being authentic, you're not being influential at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take it to the next level. A corporate leader or a business unit manager for that is listening to this interview. They are aware of the importance of social media. They may not necessarily be very skilled in social communication. And they're sitting there and they're scratching their head and they're thinking, wow, this guy's talking a lot of sense. And I know that we have moved into this new world, but I'm actually not quite sure what to do. So, Richard Simmons, you've written this book. People can find you on Twitter at RichSimmonsZA. You've got squillions of followers. But how does the rubber meet the road? Because you've written the book. But now for people that say, wow, I like what this guy is saying, how do they now take it further?
The best way would be to contact me on my website, on richsimmons.co.za. My contact details are there. So, and the way that the rubber would meet the tarmac would be either I would do a talk at your company, or you can attend my digital leadership workshop, which is on the 10th of July. And the information is at the moment on my Twitter feed. It will be on my website shortly, but that is the 10th of July. That is basically a taster session in the morning to give you an idea of what digital leadership is. And it's actually a workshop.
Okay, so it's the 10th of July, huh?
That's correct.
And where is this being held?
We finalised the venue. It'll be it's in Joburg, the 10th of July. So we've just come out with it. We were going to have it in Parkhurst, but the venue there was too small. So we've got more bookings and we need to find a bigger venue.
Gosh, what an awful thing to have to deal with.
That's terrible. I mean, it's the last thing you want is too many people. Not.
and as we begin to wrap up this interview with Rich Simmons, I just have to read from the back cover, and there's a wonderful quote testimony from Steve Maraboli. Well done. And he says, out of the thousands of relationship books it is refreshing to read, an out-of-the-box perspective that deals directly with compatibility, integrity, honesty, and love. Now, that was your five-night plan.
Correct.
Now you've got Tim Fargo writing about this book, and it says, amidst the clamor for more information in the social media toolset, Rich has had his trademark contrarian vision to address the more fundamental issue of communication itself and how that can be powerfully integrated into our current and future social media toolset to maximize our potential. This is a really beautiful book. I love the way you've written it. I love the way it is put together. It is actually beautifully done. I love the colors. I've thumbed through it at speed. I am just excited to be able to read it cover to cover. Well done, Richard.
Thank you.
Really, really well done. And you know, knowing the standard of work that you produce, and the fact that you're a rule breaker, change maker, and all round good guy, where now? Where to now for Rich Simmons? what's the next phase? You've got to give us a little peep into the future.
there's a little peep into the future, and that is that Tim Fargo will be here in April next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're actually collaborating on a book together.
Yeah.
With Jaber Buerta at the moment. So we come in sort of on a high-level corporate side of things, and then Jaber comes in for the entrepreneur. And he does commentary on our chapters for the entrepreneur. And then we're going to roll that out into a national roadshow for entrepreneurs. So that is the plan for April next year. And the new book will come out, and we'll launch it when Tim arrives in April.
Wonderful.
And then go on a roadshow from there.
Fantastic.
Well, that's wonderful. And Rich, I just wanted to thank you very much too for allowing We Publish You Africa to be part of your book. And it really kickstarts the entrepreneurial side of publishing for small business and for having a corporate message. I mean, although I say it's publishing for small business, because right at this minute you would consider yourself as being a small business.
That's correct.
As Rich Simmons. Mm-hmm. Only I think we'll have We Publish You Africa for corporate business soon, because I don't think that you're going to be sitting still. You're going to be rocketing out there. We'll soon start seeing you on the American circuit. I know they've got you off to Nigeria potentially, but I think you'll be seeing yourself further afield and also flying the flag for South African business internationally, which is brilliant. So congratulations and a job well done.
Thanks very much. And for any aspiring writer out there, if I can give you one word of advice, is that publish a book and do it as soon as you can. Nothing will elevate your brand more than writing a book will.
Yeah, fantastic.
And that's wonderful. If there are any businesses out there or entrepreneurs that want to find out about how to write a book, what you'd like to do, go and have a look at www.wepublishyouafrica.com.
Well, that something depends.
ABC with The Look of Love on Mix 93.8 FM. You're listening to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles. It's Tuesday evening. Now, just once again, I've just got to share with you that we have Chris Gardner joining us for an interview via Skype this Friday, which will be broadcast on next week's show. We are super, super excited in the pursuit of happiness, and he is going to be the headline speaker at this year's NAC South Africa on the 30th and 31st of August. If you'd like tickets, we have a wonderful offer for Mix FM listeners. 2 for 1. If you go on to NAC South Africa/MixFM, buy your ticket, send your proof of payment to Success Resources, and they will issue you with a second ticket.
Absolutely, and goodness me, don't they put on spectacular events. I love the work that Success Resources do. Harv Eker, Les Brown, Chris Gardner, Tom Hopkins coming in, and on that, and speaking about speakers, well, we just had Rich Simmons in studio, who's one of the top social media gurus and social communication commentators, and now we have one of South Africa's most exciting young inspirational speakers, Sibusiso Molimi. Sibs, welcome to Mix FM.
Yeah, thanks, Chris and Suzanne. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sibs, it's so awesome to have you in the studio, and we feel very honored to be able to call you Sibs, because you've been coming to events with us for just, well, nearly 18 months now. And Sibusiso Molimi is now the new director of the African Business Speakers Bureau. And what a wonderful thought to have a entrepreneurial speakers bureau, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So congratulations on being part of that new venture.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor, and I'm looking forward to the challenges. I'm looking forward to working with Chris and Suzanne.
Now, Sibs, you are a young inspirational speaker, and the reason I say inspiration is because I've heard you speak and you inspire. You don't just motivate, you move something deep inside of your audiences. I know that you've spoken at the Oprah Winfrey School. That's just one of the real top brands, if you will, where you have walked onto the stage and delivered your message. Let's take the clock back to when you were young, and I know that a lot of what you do and a lot of the way you structure your talks is around the topic when opportunity knocks. Now, you've had a private school education. You're now at the University of Pretoria. You're doing wonderful things. You're being widely acknowledged across South Africa as one of the hottest young speaking properties. But life wasn't always that easy or that simple for you, was it?
No, it wasn't. I didn't get it on a silver plate, but through hard work, the rewards are coming through.
So now let's wind the clock back. And let's begin with the story of when you were a lot younger. How did you get to the point where you were educated or privately school educated? And what did it take from you in order to ensure that this happened?
All right, so I went to a school called Vuleka in North Riding. And I went there. My mom's friend, who was a pastor, told my mom about the school. And so I went there. I was very energetic guy. And throughout my life, you know, I attribute a lot of my success to the support structure that I've had. And I met wonderful teachers there who supported me. And I just kept on putting in the work and putting in the work and putting in the work. And the teachers saw potential in me, Mrs. Masaris and Mrs. Charlene. They saw fantastic potential in me. And they gave me the opportunity to go to St. Peter's Prep. And that's how I got the bursary. So it was through hard work, having a positive attitude, the guy who was full of energy every single day. And look, it all paid off.
Sibs, you talk about hard work. Tell us a little bit more, because the thing is, what exactly constituted hard work for you?
Look, I just believe that the beauty of hard work is you never know who's watching you. So hard work is just putting in the hours when your friends are out there having fun. Hard work is putting in the hours when people are really sleeping. Hard work is just putting in the effort, putting in the extra hours on mastering your craft. And as I said just now, the beauty of hard work is that you never know who's watching you. So you just got to keep on putting in the work. You know the six W's, that work will win when wishing won't. Too many people are wishing and not putting in the work. So the hard work has just paid off, and I've just been putting in the work. And as I say, you never know who's watching you. I've just had people come out of nowhere. I don't know them. I don't have their contact details. I don't follow them on Twitter. And they've just been saying, we've been seeing the work that you've been putting in, and we're going to give you the opportunity. So just put in the work, put in the work. It will all pay off.
Well, I think that's such an amazing thing to say, because one of the other things, though, Sibs, is that although that you put in the work, you're not just... You've heard Chris and I teach from U Squared. So it's not about putting in the work and just banging your head against a glass wall. You are actually actively focused on what it is that you want. Now, you're going to be speaking this weekend at the Urban Youth Festival in Pretoria, which I think is fantastic. We actually had the people in from... We had Nicole and Michael.
Correct.
In a couple of weeks ago. And Urban Youth Festival is going to be at the Pretoria High School Old Boys Club. Nice to see Pretoria getting involved in Youth Day celebrations too. What time are you going to be speaking on Saturday?
I'm speaking there at 11 o'clock. From 11 till 20 past 11.
Nice. So you're going to be sharing a bit of your story, or are you going to be doing something more inspirational?
No, I'm going to be focusing on entrepreneurship. And the title of my talk is called The Three Laws of Entrepreneurship. I call them the three P's: passion, partnerships, and persistence.
And
that's
persistence.
It. Yeah, the three P's of entrepreneurship: passion, partnership, and persistence.
That's wonderful, because purpose also popped in there, so you could always have a fourth if you wanted to. So
yeah, if they'd given me more time, why not? They've just given me 20 minutes. That's all.
But you know, I love the fact that you are always willing to come along and learn things. I mean, you've attended most of these multi-speaker events where you always manage to take away a little something from each speaker. You are sharing at high schools. Now, tell us a little bit more about that, because I always see in your Facebook profile how you are sharing and giving back across high schools all over. I mean, you're not just going back to your own sort of alma mater, as they would say in the university days, and just giving back to where you went to school.
Yeah, so I'm part of the World Economic Forum Global Shapers, and one of our projects there is called Leadathon. So what we do in Leadathon is we go out to schools in the townships in Mamelodi, and we go out there just to share our stories. We've seen the impact of just sharing our stories. I mean, the guys that I take with and the ladies that I take with to these schools, they were once there. They were once at those schools. They once sat in those seats, and they've managed to make it. So we go out there and we just share our stories, inspire and empower the kids just to create a mindset of possibility and show them that if we can do it, then they can do it. But they want to know, how did we do it? Because we once sat where they were sitting. So we go out there sharing these tools, and we've seen the impact. Messages are coming in, and it's just a way of giving back and using the platform and using the passion and using the skills to create a mindset of possibility by sharing those stories. And we need to hear more of them.
Sibs, how did this all begin for you? In today, you receive regular invitations to speak, and I mean from corporates through to schools. How did it all start? Because there will be people that are listening to the show and they'll be thinking to themselves, well, you know, here's one of South Africa's top young inspirational speakers, but how did he actually get going? So let's wind your mind back to that, and how did it all begin?
All right, so I got to St. Norman's College in 2007, and a friend of mine, a mentor, Kulisa Ramashia, he invited me to speak at a public speaking competition. And I'd only been in the school for 2 months, and I thought to myself, is this guy crazy? I am not going to do it. But he kept on, you know, pressurizing me and saying, Spoo, this is an opportunity. You've got the confidence. Stop being shy and get on stage. And I went onto stage, and I spoke about myself, and I just said, be yourself. And I was just myself. And I came second in that competition, my first ever competition, competing against guys who had been doing public speaking for quite some time. And from then on, I never looked back. You know, I saw that this is a passion. This is something that I love doing. I went on to represent St. Albans College at the Nationals Independent Public Speaking Competitions. 2 years in a row, came sixth in reading, 11th in the after-dinner speaking, and 17th in the country. And then from then on, doors have just been opening up. Doors have really been opening up.
Now, where did you train? How did it all begin? Because there has to be a certain learning of the craft. Where did you begin to hone and learn the craft?
It was at St. Albans College. I was part of the public speaking club there, and I just kept on putting in the work, and I would keep on evaluating myself. I think it's important that you evaluate yourself after you give a talk, and I keep on going back to see where is it that I can improve, where is it that I can get better, where is it that I can work on to become the exceptional and professional speaker that I want to become.
Now, I know that you're also very involved with Toastmasters.
Yeah, I'm part of President Toastmasters, and I would advise people who want to get into speaking to join any Toastmaster group. And a lot of people have asked me, why did I join Toastmasters? Because, look, it's a great platform to get better at what you do.
Now, I've just from talking to you, I know that Toastmasters is a great platform, especially if you have a fear of public speaking. So it actually gives you a lot of skills in terms of doing that. And I know, I mean, is there anything you haven't won at Toastmasters yet?
Look, I've been really, really blessed over the last year or so. I've been voted as the best speaker on numerous occasions. I've gone on to represent our club at area. I've gone on to, you know, to really, really do well at club competitions. I still have bigger goals. I want to go on to represent the country, and I will one day. I'm getting there. I'm just putting in the work.
I love it. Now, with African Business Speakers Bureau, we've been talking to you for some time now about getting involved in terms of when you are proficient enough as a speaker. Now, you've got a world ahead of you in terms of what you want to achieve, and we know that you are going to big things. But when you look at entrepreneurs, how important is it to be able to convey your message eloquently? It's not necessarily about being able to get up on a stage and speak on behalf of a club or on behalf of a country, but just to be able to communicate your message. Is that something now that is just so essential in terms of positioning yourself above other people doing the same thing as you?
Yeah, it's very, very important for entrepreneurs to be able to overcome this fear if they've got this fear, because what's the point of you having a product or having a service yet nobody knows about it? Why do you have it anyway? But then when you've got it with you, how do you then communicate it effectively and let people know about this product? So it's very, very important. It's a very, very important skill. And I'm looking forward to working with you, Chris and Suzanne, and helping other entrepreneurs out there to learn how to package their message, to learn how to package their products and be able to communicate it effectively.
Now, Sibs, a lot of what you do goes around when opportunity knocks. I would actually go so far as to say it's probably, or those are probably the three words through which you brand yourself. Why, again, when opportunity knocks?
I think I've been given so many opportunities. I mean, I go back to St. Peter's Prep giving me an opportunity to receive a top quality education. I'll go back to St. Albans College giving me an opportunity to receive top education, to give me an opportunity to travel the world, America, Malaysia, Singapore. I'll go back to, you know, to Varsity where I am now, where people have just given me an opportunity to pursue my dreams. And I just think that every single one of us has an opportunity each and every single day to go after what we want. Right. What we need to do is we need to create those platforms and we need to create those opportunities. If you're not getting the opportunities, then you create the opportunities. But what people don't get is that they're waiting for the opportunity to come. And when it comes, they're not ready. So when that opportunity knocks, you've got to make sure that you're ready. It's better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So it's fine. You don't have that opportunity now to be on radio. It's fine. You don't have that opportunity now to be on TV. But just keep on putting in the work. Keep on practicing. Like tomorrow, you're going to get that phone call. When opportunity knocks, you better be ready.
I love that, and I think it's a big Les Brown thing as well, where he always says, you know, you better be ready, because if opportunity knocks on you on, you don't know when it's going to knock again. So just be ready for that moment, because you keep on getting yourself ready, you're practiced. You know that your skills are better, even in business, even entrepreneurially, even Chris and myself. We are always ready for when that opportunity comes our way.
Well, what I'm enjoying so much about tonight's show is the number of tweets that are coming in from young people that are actually saying how much you are inspiring them, Sibs, and how wonderful that is, because you really are. You're doing an amazing, amazing job. Now, you're also involved with Primedia All-Stars, is that correct?
Yeah, I have. I have given a talk at Primedia's Divisional Forum.
And I think you were the youngest ever speaker?
Yeah, the youngest speaker to ever speak there.
And you're so modest about it. It's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Now, when you think about how you have grown as a speaker, what is probably the single greatest lesson that you have learned from all the talks you've given, from all the audiences that you've spoken to, that now pervades your thinking before you actually stand up and speak? What is the key thing that Sibusiso Molimi has learned, which he now applies, and rigorously so?
Well, I was watching a guy called Vusi Temegwayo, and I learned something very powerful from him, which I've taken into my speaking as well, is that every single speaking gig that I give, every single speaking engagement that I have, I give it as if it's my last one. I give it everything. Whether I'm speaking to 2 people, 3 people, 6,000 people, 1 million, I give it my all. Because you never know who's watching you. You never know who's in the crowd. But just give it your all. Every single speaking engagement, whether I'm speaking to the CEOs of Prime Media and the divisional heads of Prime Media, whether I'm speaking to grade sixes and grade sevens and high schools, I give it my all. Every single speaking engagement, give it your all.
Wow.
Well, I love that. And Sibs, it's just an absolute testament to who you are and how you conduct yourself. And, you know, I know that there are some of our listeners out there that you hosted at the recent Millionaire to Billionaire on Chris and my behalf, because we were at another training and unfortunately couldn't attend. And that is part of it. You are always willing and you are always able, and you're always prepared. And those are really wonderful traits for anyone who is searching and working towards success. Because you have to ask yourself, am I willing? Am I able? And then if the answer is yes, then you've got to be prepared. Because it's no use being willing and able if you don't do the work. And every time you say that, I actually just see DJ Spoo in my mind. Just, I haven't got the croaky voice.
Hold on.
Just got to do the work. You've got to do the work. Put in the work. Do the work. I'll even send him the podcast for that. But that's exactly what it makes
calls his gruff voice.
Yes.
I love it. I don't think we come close.
No.
We need to have a cold in order to mimic
now,
that voice of his.
You have participated in many, many youth initiatives too. And I know that working with young people is very, very, very close to your heart. And I see that by the global, the World Global Shapers
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
How important is it to you to continue doing that work with young people in South Africa?
It's really important. It means a lot to me because I'm in my youth now. And a lot of people have really asked me how old I am. And I want to state and I want to say clearly I'm only 21 years old. But it's really important that I work very closely with the youth, because in the communities that we come from, in the communities that we live in, the youth is really not at the right place, you know, in terms of their thinking, in terms of where they want to take the country. So my role is to create that mindset of possibility. My role is to go out there and create a culture of champions. It's really, really important because this is the youth that is taking our country forward. You know, the elders aren't going to be here for a very long time, and the youth is going to need to step in. So when they step in, and when that opportunity comes, the youth need to be ready. And my role is to make sure that I prepare them to be ready.
Sibs, looking back, let's go to family. Where and how did your family inspire you to do so much? Because I know that in some conversations that we've had, you have alluded to this. And I think it's always nice to have a real family moment on the show. So let's maybe think about your family and share with us where moments of inspiration have come from them, which have got you to where you are today.
Yeah, look, family has played such a massive role in me getting to where I am. You know, my mom has always been there for me, supporting me. My dad has always been there for me, supporting me. My sister, my uncle, my brothers. Every single time I keep on getting messages of inspiration to keep on going and to keep on going. And unfortunately, my mom suffered a stroke about 2 years ago, so she's not working. And my uncle's also in a wheelchair, and he's not working as well. And I've got my aunt who's got a temporary job. And I've got my cousin as well who I'm staying with. And he's going to varsity through my uncle's pension. So it's really tough at home. But what inspires me and what keeps me going is the fact that, you know what, it'll all be fine. It'll all be good. You know, I'm going to work very hard. I'm going to work extremely hard. You know, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do my thing. And my family is going to be very comfortable. So I'm inspired to keep on working, to keep on pushing. And whatever my mom wanted, whatever my uncle wanted, whatever my cousin wanted, you know, I'm working very hard to make sure that they get what they wanted because they've supported me. So hold on, hold on.
Harvecker teaches that the highest energy always wins. And as you have been sitting here beside me tonight in studio, the energy that comes off for you is just beautiful. It is powerful and it comes off in waves. In fact, it's almost tsunamis, if you will. And Sibs, with that energy, you will win. It is guaranteed. Keep on doing what you're doing. You are doing a magnificent job. And I do believe that very soon you will move beyond being one of South Africa's top or leading young inspirational speakers and probably be branded South Africa's all-time greatest speaker.
I'm sure that he's going to, and I know that when we've spoken to you about modeling somebody who is an inspiration to you or somebody that you consider as a peer, and I know that you've mentioned Vusi Tembekwaya and how much he's played a role in how you've modeled your speaking. But let me tell you something, Sibs, you are going to find yourself right up there with Vusi and with many, many other full-time professional speakers. I mean, we've often discussed the difference between a professional speaker being somebody who only speaks. That's what he does as his profession. And the difference is between being an entrepreneur who speaks or a business person that speaks. And it's just, you are an absolutely wonderful role model for young people out there. An absolute proof, because I know you took the opportunities that came your way. When they knocked on the door, you were ready, you were willing, and you were able. And that's how you got the education that you got. It's how you got the high school education you got, and it's how you got to be in university. Now, you are in your third year at Tufts?
My third year, yeah.
Wow. So what are you studying?
I'm studying business management.
I like it. So you're going to be helping us grow the economy soon.
Yeah, I am already. But, you know, with the support of Chris and yourself, I know we going very far.
Well, fantastic. Now, should you wish to get hold of Sibusiso Molimi, you can find him on Twitter, and that is Sibusiso Molimi. That's M-O-L-I-M-I. And you can also go to AfricanBusinessSpeakersBureau.com, and you can message from there. This is a young man who you really should be using at your events. He is a wonderful inspirational speaker. He brings a fresh message, and he is absolutely taking this public speaking arena by storm. I absolutely love what he has to say. He's a very humble young guy, yet he delivers a power-packed message. Sibs, it's been delightful to have you in studio tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Suzanne. I really appreciate your support. I mean, as Suzanne mentioned, we've been working together for the last 18 months. I really appreciate your support, your guidance. You're always there for me, and it means a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for giving me this platform.
Well, you're welcome. We've only guided you. You've done the rest, and I just love the way your rocket has lit up. So well done. Now, as we move towards the end of the show, there are a couple of interesting announcements here. And on previous shows, we've had Colin Brown in studio with us. He's the author of The Happy Sandpit, and just a lovely guy who is an absolute authority on organizational culture. He's got a workshop which is going to be held on the 24th of June at Wanderers Club Ilovo. It starts at 8 in the morning, goes through until 11, and it's all about the impact of culture in managing organizational structures for performance. I love Colin Brown. I love what he teaches. Superb guy. And you can also reach him at colin@happysandpit.com. Now, he's also speaking at a number of other events, but if you make contact with him, you'll be able to find out all about those.
Well, it's wonderful. Now, don't forget, tune in next week. We're going to have Chris Gardner from In Pursuit of Happiness, which I just think is an absolute coup. We're really, really looking forward to our interview with him. Don't forget, you've got your 2-for-1 special at nacsouthafrica.com/mixfm, and you've got your 2-for-1 special. You've been listening to Chris and Suzanne Stiles on The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.